Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
What a week it was for Coles and the much maligned reusable plastic bag. First they're out, then they're in, and whoops, whoa, they're out again. As far as we can figure out, they're out again. And to add insult to injury, after all that back flippery, it turns out it was never about helping customers to transition or listen to environmental concerns. According to a report in the press yesterday, it was actually about getting shoppers through the checkout faster because of the promotional giveaways of the plastic tiny groceries being so popular. It's been a corporate PR disaster, no doubt. And when you're trying to implement a major reform, and this is a major piece of reform, getting us to change our habits, one that most reasonable people will agree with, when you're trying to do that, you just can't have this backflipping for what are, well, it seems, according to the reports, commercial reasons. That just, you know, lends weight to the idea that the government should have stepped in and just banned plastic bags outright. And many people don't like bans. Something that's voluntary is much more effective than a ban. Peter Schmeagle is the CEO of the Australian Council of Recycling, and we wanted to catch up with Peter tonight because we want to find out exactly where that plastic bag ban or boycott or whatever you call it, where that fits within the whole management of waste in this country, especially waste from plastic, which I think we all acknowledge is certainly a problem. Well, Peter Schmeagle, welcome to Open House.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Very well, and great to talk to you. Firstly, let's just talk a little bit about your organisation so we know exactly who we're speaking with here. You represent those industries that actively are involved in the recycling business, yeah?
That's right. Now, the Australian Council of Recycling is the peak body or the umbrella group for all the businesses that are involved in the collection of recyclate, its sorting, its reprocessing, sometimes its export, making it back into new products. So the entire supply chain, if you will, when it comes to recycling, and that's not just the things that happen, you know, through our curbs at our households, but in our businesses and on our construction sites. Altogether, it's about 50,000 people in the country working in those activities, and it's, believe it or not, worth about $2 billion to the economy. So not an insignificant sector.
Well, not at all. And I would think that most people get the idea that if we can recycle in a responsible way, that's got to be better than using up resources that are not renewable. So $2 billion in the economy, why is it worth $2 billion to the economy?
Well, you know, all of those activities, whether it's the process of actually extracting the material from the household or the process of taking, for example, old newspaper back and old cardboard boxes back and making them into new boxes, that adds a lot of value. And every time we do that, we're, as you rightly said, replacing the use of a finite a resource in nature. So it's, you don't have to be an environmentalist. It's just commonsensical stuff to say, let's keep some stuff out of landfill. You know, landfill doesn't sound like it's a particularly good idea. A, B, you know, if we've got these resources, we should take a stewardship position around them, look after our planet, look after the next generation, and try not to use these natural resources as much. Let's try to reuse the things that are accessible to us.
Well, now, look, people who are regular listeners to this program, Open House, where we try to look at life through the lens of faith and point to hope, will know that the stewardship of our planet is the thing that I really care about, the thing that this program really cares about. It's one of the values given to us, indeed, by God himself in Genesis. So stewardship is a great thing, and I do wonder why it is sometimes the Christians get themselves tied up in knots about this recycling question. But I read a letter on the Australian website this week. So there was a story about Coles's latest backflip. That was two in a week, I think. I just think they're going to need a chiropractor. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. But this thing said that the environmental movement wasn't based on facts. And it came from Christianity, which wasn't based on facts either, and therefore it was all a big kind of I don't know, it was the most confused argument I've ever read. I just wonder how it is that happens.
Look, I think that we did an interesting survey not long ago. We asked 1,000 Australians about their views about the environment and about recycling, etc. And what we found is that right across the board, older Australians, younger Australians, cities, towns, country, educational levels. There was an 88% support level for this notion that, you know, we should recycle and keep things out of landfill. It's just common sense to many people. Interestingly, Stephen, that sometimes we have these stereotypes in our own minds when it comes to recycling or environmentalism that, oh, that's about inner cities, that's about, you know, greens in some respect. Mm. Interestingly, the people who actually supported recycling the most in our survey work are people who are older, people who are living in country areas, and people who tend to vote conservative. So what that says to me is that, you know, to be a good environmentalist, you don't have to fit the stereotype. You just have to subscribe to this notion that, look, you know, it's part of responsible citizenship. It's part of a responsible being a responsible member of the community. It's part of being responsible to the planet that we're blessed with by God to look after the place. And one of the ways to easily look after it is, yeah, let me do the right thing with my cans and my bottles and my package.
Very good. Now, back in the personal disclosure realm, I also have had a massive dilemma with the plastic bag issue.
Mm.
Because we reuse our plastic bags. When we could get them, we would reuse them as bin liners, and there it is. So they go to landfill, I guess, and they degrade. And yes, I know that there's a great possibility that they will put plasticizers into the waterways. They may end up in the oceans, and that's a big problem. On the other hand, the response that we've had, the look at this one type of plastic bag only, replaced by, guess what, plastic bags I now have to pay for, it just strikes me that that is a single point of attack, whereas the problem is a gross problem. It's an overall problem. It's about the whole waste stream.
Yeah, look, it is a bit of a mess, isn't it? So if you are a person who says, look, there's too many of these plastic bags, we should get rid of them, you'd look at the current situation and say, oh, boy, this is a bit of a mess. You know, all we've done is replace one plastic type of bag with another type of plastic bag, A. If you're a person, on the other hand, who says, you know, plastic bags are a convenient thing, we should be able to have them in our supermarkets, et cetera, you'd also say, wow, well, this is a bit of a mess. It just shows you that, you know, when it comes to things environment, when it comes to things waste and litter and resource, we have to think these things through carefully and plan them carefully. Whenever we're asking ourselves as individuals to change a habit, we all know how hard that is. Mm. Lose a few pounds, go exercise. Here we are trying to change the habit of millions of Australians with regard to, you know, the things that they do or don't do at the supermarket. It really needed to be thought through a lot better. And moreover, I wonder about the priorities sometimes, Stephen, as your question alluded to. Plastic bags, you could take all of them that you use in a year and you could literally ball them up into a smaller than a netball, right? It would weigh about 1.5 or 2 kilograms if you were to take all the plastic bags that you use from the supermarket over a year.
1.5 to 2 kilograms?
Yeah, 1.5 to 2 kilograms on average for an average Aussie. And on the other hand, the amount of plastic packaging that we use is about 60 kilograms. So plastic bags are about less than 3% of all the plastic that we consume as individuals. So I just sort of thought from a perspective of logic, if we think that plastic is problematic and we want less of it in our lives, we should really be talking about the 58 kilograms of plastic, not the 1 or 2 kilograms that the bags represent. It's sometimes we go after the obvious, but it's not necessarily the correct.
Well, then what is your industry, the recycling industry, able to bring to the table when it comes to the reuse recycling of plastic? Is there an effective plastics recycling chain, for instance?
Well, again, you know, if we're using, let's say, 60 kilograms a year of plastic, that means that it serves some purpose. It's keeping our food fresh. It's packaging the items that we take home from stores. It's fulfilling some useful social purpose. But that social purpose also has a downside for the environment, whether that's as resource consumption, use of petroleum, litter, stuff going into the oceans. So how do we minimize that? You know, for mine, the logical thing would be to say, well, if we're going to have plastic, why don't we use a better kind of plastic? And what I mean by that is a plastic that's already been used once or twice or three times. So when we look overseas, a lot of the innovation is about how do I use recycled content plastic. How do I take all that stuff that's coming out of our curbs and out of our businesses and put it back into a packaging product? And that can be done safely and that can be done affordably. It just takes a little bit of leadership from a variety of people. And suddenly we're not talking about the 2 kilograms of plastic and putting on all sorts of bands that always have strange side effects. We're talking about a healthier and more positive and more environmentally friendly solution for the majority of the plastic that we're using.
Our guest on Open House is Peter Schmiegel. He's the CEO of ACOR, which is the recycling industry's peak body here in Australia. Well, back to the question, though, Peter. Is there in Australia an effective recycling chain of manufacturing, if you like, that collects it out of the waste stream, turns it back into product that we can use? And indeed, an ancillary question, how many generations can you use plastic for?
I'll start from the bottom. It can basically be essentially recycled infinitely. It can keep on going through the loop and through the cycle time after time, depending on what type of plastic it is. I'll put a little bit of an asterisk on it. Is there an effective process in place right now? Well, we recycle about 20% of all the plastic that's produced and consumed in Australia right now, meaning that about one-fifth of all that material gets picked up, gets sorted, gets processed, gets flaked, gets put back into some new product, whether that new product is here in Australia or that new product is overseas. So it is happening, but certainly more can happen, and that is part of our current challenge. For example, you know, China has stopped taking a lot of the material that we used to export from here, and our challenge now is to say, how do we come up with the plastics reprocessing infrastructure here? So this week during the week, you know, great and interesting development in Engadine. They're laying a road that actually features recycled plastic bags in the road base instead of using natural materials, et cetera, et cetera. So a terrific outcome. You know, you're not using natural resource, you're using plastic, and you're actually reducing the cost of laying roads at the same time. So all of this is possible, just takes a bit of creativity.
But when you do that, are you just locking that up for a future generation to deal with, or does it degrade? I mean, I'm really interested in the different types of plastic, as you were, and how many of them break down into these tiny plasticizers. And I suppose it's one of the few things we all know about it at the moment, these great big ocean islands of plasticizers. Even people, you know, scuba diving off the coast of Australia are complaining about the amount of plastic they see. So, yeah, so is all plastic equal? Does some of it simply harm the environment forever, or should we be changing the chemistry that we're using?
Okay. In the case of the example I use, the road, for instance, the road itself, after it has recycled content in it, is itself fully recyclable. It can be dug up after a period of 15 or 20 years and reprocessed and laid down as new road base. So that's one. Is all plastic equal? No, it's not. I mean, there are some grades of plastic. So, for example, the grades of plastic that go into your soft drink bottles or to your shampoo bottles, which are called PET or HDPE, they have a little number one symbol on them or number two symbol on them on the bottle. Those have much more effective supply chains in place to recover and to reprocess. Some of the other plastics, whilst they are technically recyclable, it's costlier, it's more difficult to do. So no, not all plastics are equal. Now, to your final point about the oceans, one of the things that we have to remember is, you know, none of us like to see those horrible situations of that plastic floating on the ocean. It's offensive in so many ways. I mean, one of the ways being, you know, this is God's creation, and what are we doing to it? But let's be factual about it, and that is some 80 to 90% of that material that's floating in those oceans comes from the underdeveloped world. It comes from places like India and China, etc. And if we really want to make a difference about those huge floating mounds of plastic, we've actually got to figure out a way to work with overseas societies to make sure that those plastic bags don't end up in rivers in those societies. And that might be things like us bringing some of our plastic recycling knowledge to places like India.
Yes, well, policy has such a big amount to play in all of this, and very little happens without government incentives in one form or another, or even just government being able to create economic advantage for those who are providing recycling. Where does Australia sit then in the policy space around this?
Well, when you look at recycling and you say, okay, how do we perform compared to other societies around the world? And if you just say, how much material out of the total amount that we consume do we recycle as opposed to send to a landfill? Australia sits about 16th or 17th in the world. So we're behind the countries of Europe predominantly. We're ahead of pretty much every other English language speaking society. So we beat the Poms and we beat the Canadians, but we're behind the Germans and we're behind the Italians, if you will. And you look at why, Europe has very proactive approaches to managing its packaging. It, for example, requires companies that sell products in Europe, call it a Coke or a Unilever, to contribute to the cost of recycling. The theory being that if you're going to profit from these products, you should also take some stewardship or some responsibility for them. Our society, on the other hand, the United States and others have taken a more what you might call free market approach. And they don't require companies to contribute as much to recycling, and therefore our rates are lower because we essentially rely on, you know, what's the value of the material for one, and secondly, whether or not we're willing to pay for it in our rates. And as you know, it's not always easy to raise people's rates.
No, it's not. Well, it's also about being able to create a viable industry, though, isn't it? Because without that, you're not going to get the levels of recycling. So you get a squeeze if you don't have great community buy-in to those programs, and there's not an industry chain for those companies to actually do the stuff. You end up with, well, what's happening in Australia with waste just being moved around from landfill to landfill, at least. Yeah. That's what my impression is. Is that right?
Yeah. Look, there is the transportation of waste, as there is of many other commodities right around the country. But I actually think this is one of the exciting things about my industry and one of the things I'm hopeful about the future. I was out in Wagga recently, and in Wagga, the recycling industry is about the second or third largest employer in town. There's a sorting plant for packaging. There's an oil recycling facility. Believe it or not, you know, a lot of the lube oil in the country gets collected back and made into new oil products. And there's an e-waste recycling plant where they take a lot of TV screens and computers and recycle those. So I look at all of this and I say, well, look, we just don't make that many things in Australia anymore. We don't manufacture that much anymore. And not everybody can be like me. Not everybody can be a keyboard cowboy for a living. You know, there are guys who and ladies who need to wear high-vis. That's just the reality of it. And somehow or in other words, we have to find the work and the productive meaning in life for these folks too. And I get hopeful about, you know, the potential of recycling in regional areas. For instance, if we create those plants to reprocess this material, if we create products, whether they're roads or they're piping or whether they're parks and gardens products, to actually put this material back in, keep it in this country, and create not just environmental value, but, you know, that it's a terrible word, that social capital, that, which I just to me seems to mean, you know, jobs and good communities.
Yeah, communities at work, of course. Well, to get back to where we started and to finish on it perhaps, what is ACOR's approach, your industry body's approach on the plastic bag ban issue? It's a non-issue in some states. They've had this ban for a while. But in New South Wales and Queensland, it's become a huge issue. Where does your body stand on that?
Well, look, if governments are going to do it or if the supermarkets are going to do it, they need to do it right. They need to prepare people. They need to provide alternatives. They need to provide information on the one hand. On the other hand, we'd encourage supermarkets, we'd encourage governments not to look at, you know, the tiny fraction of plastic that bags represent, 2 or 3%, and look at the other 97% of plastic and how do we make that bigger proportion environmentally friendly by making it recycled content and ensuring that it can be recycled time and time again into new products and new packaging. So, okay, to plastic bags being changed, but in a world where logic prevails and where real environmental care prevails, we'd be thinking about the 58 kilograms, not the 2 kilograms.
Peter Smeagol, thank you for your time.
Pleasure.
Pete Smeagol is the CEO of Australian Council of Recycling.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.